Hello and welcome to another team feature. Today we are talking to one of our account managers, Lauren Buss, and we're going to find out a little bit more of what it's like for her life here at Proudmouth. So, Lauren, describe what your day looks like as an account manager.
Well, honestly, one of my favorite things is that, like, while there are certain things that are consistent every single day, because I work on different clients every day, nothing is exactly the same. But basically, I get to my computer between 8 and 9 in the morning, just kind of depending on how my morning goes. I always check my emails very first thing to see if there's anything really pressing that's come in overnight, any last minute approvals or anything like that. But then I usually kind of set my task list for the day, look through what I have that's coming up due that I need to send to clients. If they have a deadline kind of on their end that's a little bit closer, I'll prioritize that. Honestly, I usually throughout the day have like multiple checklists that I'm going through of like my task list in our client relationship manager. But then I also have just like little things that I've scribbled down of like, oh, I need to get that thing done for that client, or, oh, I need to make sure that I check in on this episode. So, honestly, every day is a little bit different. Every day has some consistency, but definitely, mornings look pretty much the same. And then by the afternoon, I usually kind of dig into some of the more, intense strategic things that I have that I'm working on. So I usually kind of try and get anything that's like really pressing out to clients first thing in the morning so that they have a little bit of extra time to review through the day, make a second coffee, and then get onto the strategic stuff.
What do you enjoy about working here? I mean, there's lots of opportunities for you all over the place. What is it about Proudmouth that keeps you coming back?
Honestly, the thing that I love the most about Proudmouth is how supportive the team is. I feel like I always have people in my corner, and if anything comes up, then they're always there to step in. And I feel like I'm the same way for other people. So I definitely really appreciate the culture that we have as a company. I also think as an account manager in my role, I have the perfect balance of like autonomy and trust in the work that I do for clients. And I feel like I don't have to clear every little thing that I do through the executive team, but I also feel extremely supported if I need assistance with anything. I have great clients, and that helps a lot too. I have clients that I absolutely love working with. And honestly, I just love every part about this role in particular. I've tried a whole bunch of different roles in the company. I've kind of moved around, and I feel like I've carved out the space that I really want to be in. So I'm excited to continue growing.
All right. What's on your desk right now?
Always plants. There's always like 3 or 4 plants on my desk. Sometimes I move them around as I'm like, okay, I've looked at this one for a couple weeks now, so I'll switch it out. But there's always some plants. Always have my laptop and my second monitor, obviously. Everything's remote, so everything is online. Almost always have multiple pairs of glasses because I'll take them off my head and then grab another pair. It just kind of is how things go through the day. There's almost always a coffee with probably like an inch left in the bottom of it that I've let go cold or warm, depending on what kind of coffee I'm having. A notebook and pen. Like I said, I like to jot down things that have come up through the day. So I always have that next to me. Chapstick is a big thing. That's pretty much it.
If you had a podcast, what would your podcast be about?
Well, we are actually recording this the day before I am releasing my own podcast, which I'm extremely excited about. It's called We Don't Cook on Fridays. It's with my best friend from undergrad. We basically were both single gals that live alone and just kind of are career driven. And then by the time Friday comes around, we always have said to each other, we don't cook on Fridays. So we were talking one day and we were like, I feel like this is not outside of the norm. So like, let's start a podcast. And it's basically just going to be about living life in your mid-20s and maybe the things that people haven't told you about, the things that we've learned along the way, like relationships, jobs, stuff like that. Pretty much anything that you experience as a millennial or Gen Z or whatever we are. That's about it. Yeah. So I'm very excited about that. Check that out.
Yes. And surprisingly enough, we're probably going to put that link in your bio so people will be able to do that. Okay. What podcasts are you listening to right now? And which ones are you like a fan of?
So I'm a big true crime person. Definitely a big fan of My Favorite Murder. That's probably my favorite. I definitely tune into that one every single episode they release. Huge fan of Serial. I'm not so patiently waiting for season 4. It's been coming for like years, but hopefully it's on its way. Uncover and Someone Knows Something. They're both also true crime podcasts. They're both CBC, and we love that Canadian content as a Canadian. So I definitely love those. Conversations with Kenzie is another one that I'm really into. It's kind of more self-growth, things like that. I've had to do something productive through quarantine. So that's kind of where I've been turning. I'm honestly a big podcast listener, so I feel like I could keep going, but those are the ones that I tune into pretty frequently.
All right, let's move from podcasting to television. What are you watching?
So I'm a big rewatcher. I'm one of those people that like, I'd rather watch something that I've seen 1,000 times than watch something new. I don't know if I feel like that's a little bit out of the norm, but that's my style. Big fan of Schitt's Creek. Always one of my go-tos. One Tree Hill, bringing back the early 2000s vibes. Grey's Anatomy. I finally got myself caught up. I think I've watched the first 6 seasons about like 8 times, and I haven't seen, like, I've seen the other seasons like once. Because I rewatch things, I will watch up until a certain point, and then I'm like, okay, I'm bored. I know what storylines are coming up. So then I just start something new, and then I go back to it and start from the beginning again. So I'm realizing I must be really annoying to watch things with, but it is what it is.
What kind of podcast episode keeps you listening to the end?
I honestly think the podcasts that sound like a conversation, like for me, in podcasts that I listen to outside of work, it definitely helps when it sounds like they're just hanging out with their friends. And I feel like client podcasts that can kind of bring on guests and have that same kind of vibe, I think those are the most interesting ones, because it doesn't feel like you're learning things and you're aware that you're learning things, but it doesn't feel like, okay, I'm going to talk at you. No offense to people that are doing that, but I just think like it's really valuable to have those like really strictly educational podcasts. And I think it's important to do those, but I think then take that content and turn it into something that's digestible and something that is like really interesting for people to listen to. And I think that those are the ones that are going to keep me listening for sure.
So you've interacted with an enormous amount of people who are currently podcasting. What advice do you have for an expert who's thinking about starting a podcast, but scared out of their mind?
Honestly, the biggest thing to remember is you are the expert at what you're an expert at. Like, you need to remember that you have the knowledge, and it's just a matter of like reframing and like reshaping how you're thinking about podcasting. You can't think of it as a like, oh my gosh, I have this performance. You have to think of it as like, okay, I'm meeting with someone, and this is just kind of a recorded meeting. If you think about it like a conversation, it takes the pressure out of it, and it feels a lot more just kind of like, okay, I'm having this meeting and I'm sharing what I know, versus like, okay, I have to sit down and stress about recording this content and whatever. I think the engaging ones are the ones that are really confident, really laid back, and understand that they're the expert and they just need to share their thought leadership.
What is one of the most enjoyable aspects of you working directly with clients?
My favorite thing, I feel like, honestly starts right from the onboarding process. I really like getting to know clients, their team members. Like, there's sometimes that team members are included in the discovery process kind of as everything gets going, because we totally know it can be super overwhelming and there's a lot of things that we're asking right at once. So definitely a lot more of the team is usually involved with that than they may, like maybe they don't stay super involved in the process. So I really like the discovery process of getting to know the client, their team, their company, who they are, why they want to share their information and why they want to share their expertise. Honestly, I just really love working directly with clients. I think that's kind of where my skill set is. And so I really like that as well.
What would you say to encourage an industry expert who wants to post on social, but they just don't have the confidence to know what to post about?
Well, I would first say hire Proudmouth for all of your social media needs. But honestly, I would mostly say pick one or two platforms and become the absolute expert on those ones, instead of saying, okay, I need to have it on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram and like all of these other things. Like, those things can come with time. But I think if you become an expert strictly on LinkedIn and figure out exactly how that works, exactly what performs the best, I think as long as you're sharing valuable information and you understand how that platform works, that's kind of the biggest thing to kind of get started and build your online presence. I think one of the biggest things with social is people need to understand it's, especially as everything has gone more virtual, it's basically your first impression to some people. If they just stumble across your profile, you need to remember like, this is what people are going to see of your company and either reach out or not reach out. So doing social well is really more important, I think, than just doing social to do social.
What is one piece of advice that you would have for other people who are trying to learn how to get somebody else's voice and personality? Yeah. How would you answer that?
I would say that's probably one of the trickier things that we do, because we do write for so many clients and there's so many different voices that we cover, especially as we branch out into different like professional spaces. I think honestly, the biggest thing for me is going through client communication, like emails and even like taking notes during phone calls about what like literal direct phrases that people will use. We kind of all have our own vernacular or things that we say that maybe you don't even pick up on that you say it. And if you can kind of pick those things out when you're talking directly with clients and discover how they phrase certain things, especially the way that their business works. So like finding those phrases on their website, listening to what they say in a podcast, things like that. I think taking things directly when you're sometimes you're writing for another person. And I know all through school, it's ingrained in you, like don't use other people's words. when you're writing for them, you're supposed to. So that's kind of my biggest recommendation, I would say.
Well, thanks for letting everybody get a chance to know you better.
I love it. Thank you.